Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, I'll read the first verse. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Heavenly Father, help us to understand your word and to take the message to heart. Lord, I ask for everyone that is listening, whatever troubles they have, if there's sickness or hardship or strife or about to go to jail or whatever the problem, please help them. No matter what situation, I know that you can help, you can make things better. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 6 times in his letters, Paul says, "Hey, God called me to be an apostle." And I could list them, and I have. But this sermon is not about his calling to be an apostle. But it's about the word that he used. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. He started all of these churches, that's true. And he pastored them. Now he went here and he went there. But when they started a church, at some point they put people in charge. But they still exercised control over those churches. He would write to all of these different places that he'd been, and also to the people that were in charge. "Hey, remember all the stuff that I taught? Continue to do those things. Perhaps you might say that Paul, in that fashion, was acting like we would think a bishop. The group that I'm with, the little denomination that I'm a part of, we have churches and we have preachers, but there's a bishop that's in charge of everything. And your group may be completely different. I know the Baptists, each church is autonomous. And that's fine. That's fine. But we can read where Paul says, "Hey, I could just tell you what to do. But instead I beseech you, I beg of you, I humbly ask that you'd heed my words." Paul didn't have a heavy hand, in other words. And he didn't think of himself as the one in charge, but under charge. He was responsible to God, and he was, as he says here, a servant of Jesus Christ. And the word servant here, and I want to say that Greek is sometimes helpful. You can use Strong's Concordance, or you can go to, if you don't have Strong's, you can go to studybible.info and choose one of the translations that also includes the Strong's numbers. And you can say, well, what does this word mean? What does a servant of Jesus Christ mean? And you can right-click on it and open in a new window. You can get the word doulos. which means a servant or a slave or a bond slave. And I don't want to make too much of the study. That's about all I know about Greek, is that I can go look it up. I never studied Greek. But the word is doulos, and one of the definitions is that of a bond slave, which I won't define at this time. But Paul thought of himself as a servant, not a master. And he had given his life to God and said, Lord, whatever you'll have me to do, I'll do it. And in fact, we'll read his calling in just a little bit. But Jesus is the master. He's the Lord. And we're his servants. And we make use of those terms often. But I want to ask, is Jesus really Lord? If he told you to do something or to stop doing something, would you obey him? Or is it just religion? That you talk about God, you talk about Jesus, but his desires for you, his word that he wrote for you, does it really mean anything? Is Jesus actually the Lord of your life? Luke chapter 6, verse 46, and why call you me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say? Why indeed? You know me, you know I do not preach religion. People go to church for all sorts of reasons, and part of those reasons are, well, it's just what we do, or grandma insists that I go, or it's the right thing to do, or all of these reasons. But is Jesus really Lord of your life? Acts chapter 9, we'll read the first 6 verses. And I've gone over this before. Saul, it talks of Saul, but later on his name was changed to Paul. Saul persecuted Christians. And it says that Saul, or Paul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, the Christian way, whether he be man or woman, that he might bring them bound or in chains unto Jerusalem, put them in the wagon or tied behind the wagon, making them walk all the way from Syria back to Jerusalem, to be judged, to be whipped or killed or whatever the case. Again, Paul persecuted Christians, and more than likely had quite a number of them killed for the faith. But as he journeyed with these letters in his pocket, he came near Damascus, and Damascus is in Syria, and Syria is northish of Israel. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a bright, bright light from heaven. And he did what anybody else would do. He fell to the ground. What is that, you know? And he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He was persecuting Christians, but Christians follow the Lord. So Paul was persecuting Jesus. Now this is the guy that is against Christ. But in verse 5, he said, who are you, Lord? All of a sudden his tune changed. And the Lord said, I am Jesus who you're persecuting. And he says, you know, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. A prick is a goad, and it's often used, and this idea is probably from an agricultural and farming concept, that if you want the animal to go forward, you kind of prick him in his rear, and he, hey, want to get away from that, he goes forward. And there's a lot here that I could say. But it says, Paul was trembling, and he was astonished, and he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? Again, he went from, hey, I got letters in my pocket, and I'm going to persecute Christians, to calling Jesus Lord. And he surrenders his heart and his life and his ministry of persecuting Christians, he surrenders and says, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And Jesus said, hey, you know, get up, go to the city, and somebody's going to tell you what you're supposed to do. And we can read on and talk about Ananias, but I don't want to do that. But he called Jesus Lord, and he surrendered his life. And whatever Jesus told him to do from that time on, he did it. He didn't complain. You know, he lists at one point all of the things that he suffered. He was persecuted himself. He was stoned. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. All of these things he suffered. He suffered. And he did so willingly and joyfully. The prison epistles, for instance, were written when he was in prison suffering for our faith. And he talks of the joy of the Lord. Not, oh man, the boss told me to do that and I don't want to do it and no, whatever. He didn't grouse around. If the boss said, hey, take the mop and go hit the bathrooms, yes, sir, boss, let's go. Hallelujah, praise God, I'm going to go mop the bathrooms. Not only should Jesus be Lord of your life, you should joyfully obey him. But Matthew chapter 22. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And I'm in verse 34 going to 40. And one of them that was a lawyer asked him a question saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Oh, and there's another one, the second greatest commandment. Not only should you love God with the totality of your being, but you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. And it says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And in my mind, I'm thinking about the other question where Jesus told about the Good Samaritan. Again, I could chase rabbits, but I have to hurry. John chapter 14, verse 15, 21, and 23. Jesus said, If you love me, keep my commandments. He that has my commandments and keeps them, that's the one that proves that he loves me. And notice the language. He that loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. But John 3:16, for God so loved, yes, for God so loved the world. That's right. Jesus died, like I said last week, I think, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But there's a response. There's a response. Just as Paul changed from, I'm going to go kill Christians, to, Lord, Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. It's one thing that Jesus, out of God's love, died for us on Mount Calvary. It's another thing for us to say, Lord, we love you back. And to prove our love, let's see what the Bible says, and to the best of our heart and mind and understanding and our strength, let's try to obey it. And if you serve God out of love, and not duty, and not this, and not that. You know, he said at one point, probably in Matthew chapter 5 or so, that if you give so that everybody can see, you've got your reward. But if you give while no one's watching, God watches. God watches. And when he gets around to it, he'll reward your good works, your good deeds, the offering and gift that you gave. It's conditional, this walk that we have with the Lord. It's conditional if you're going to serve God or not. If you're going to believe or not, that's up to you. And if you believe, your relationship with God and the benefits thereof depend on you. Will you dedicate your heart? Will you obey his commandments? And to the degree that you do surrender and out of love obey him, God will reveal himself to you. He'll live in your heart. He'll reward you openly. It says that I will love him and the Father will love him, the one that loves me and keeps my commandments. And maybe that messes with your theology. I don't care. I don't care. If you love God, you try to obey him, he will pursue a greater relationship with you and show his love for you, etc. So we see in the New Testament, God talks about love. There are those that hate God that claim that the Old Testament is evil, and that the God of the Old Testament, which is somehow different from the God of the New, I don't understand that, is mean and judgmental, and he's an ogre, and he loves to punish people. Well, all of that is false. All of that is false. We find the same love in the Old Testament as we do in the New. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 15. And the title of this sermon is Paul, a Bond Servant of Jesus Christ. And as we study this chapter, we'll get an understanding of what bond servant means. This chapter talks of slavery. Now, it's one thing to be taken captive against your will. We see that all over the world. And unfortunately, we've had that in this country that we live in a long time ago. But God, again, in the law, in Deuteronomy, in the statement of the law, God shows us his safety net. And I'm out of time, but I would compare God's safety net to the government's safety net. There's welfare, there's Medicare, Medicaid, there's all these programs, and not a one of them are administered out of love. Again, I don't have time to chase that rabbit. But in Deuteronomy 15, and there's a lot here, and I have to hurry. Maybe you've heard of the year of Jubilee. Maybe. Every 7 years, it says that there's a release, and I'll read the verse in a minute. And every seven sevens, on the 50th year, there's the Jubilee. But he said, again, Deuteronomy 15, verse 1 and 2, at the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lends to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor, nor of his brother. It is called the Lord's release. If you get a loan from your brother, again, this is ancient Israel. At the end of 7 years, it's over. And if you still owe, you don't have to pay. You don't have to pay. And all through this chapter, we see the love of God. Verse 7, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren inside any of your gates in the land of Israel, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor close your hand from your poor brother, but you're going to open your hand, and whatever he needs, you're going to give him. Now, if you're a rich man and you got two or three Mercedes and you got a poor neighbor, it doesn't say give him one of your Mercedes. But maybe if you're the rich man and you see your neighbor's car broken down, needs a water pump, and he doesn't have the money, then out of love, tow his car to the mechanic, pay the bill, and return his car to him. Hey, your car works now. You can go to the store, go to work, or whatever. This is what everyone in Israel was supposed to do. Help your neighbor, help your brother out of love. And it goes on in verse 10. It says that if you have an open heart, an open wallet, an open hand, what have you, and that you give as your neighbor needs. He says, because of that thing, the Lord shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all thou puttest, and in everything that you put your hand to will prosper. If you show love to your neighbor, God will show love to you, which is essentially what we just went over in John chapter 14. As you love God and live for him, he will extend more of his relationship to you. And that, caring for your neighbor and your brother out of love, is God's safety net. They had no need for government programs in ancient Israel because everybody was supposed to care for their own brother. No safety net, no taxation for that. No politicians, no money ending up where it shouldn't end up, in the politician's back pocket. No need for any of that in God's economy. Ooh, well, I thought God was an ogre. Well, no, he's not. But in verse 12 through 15, it says, if your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, and serve thee 6 years. He can't pay his bills, he can't do that, whatever, and the collector comes and says, what are we going to do with you? You know, maybe in old England they had an idea of debtor's prison. I guess that might be that idea. But if you're a landowner or whatever in Israel and your neighbor gets sold unto you, your brother gets sold to you, as a slave, he'll serve 6 years, but in the 7th year, you're supposed to let him go free. Again, because of love and etc. Now, not only does he go away free, but you fill his hands, you fill his trunk with stuff, and you send him on his way. Furnish him liberally out of thy flock and of thy floor and out of thy winepress. Give him all kind of stuff. As your slave leaves, bless him. Okay, that's fine, but this is the good part of the sermon. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 16 and 17. Again, this whole sermon, we've been talking about love. We ought to love God, we ought to love our neighbor. And if we live right, then God's love is revealed to us. And God enjoys living in our heart. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, the slave that you've had for 6 years, I will not go away. I know you set me free, but I'm not going out. I don't want to go out. I want to stay. I want to continue to serve you because you've been nice to me. I want to continue to be your slave. Please don't send me out. Because he loves you and your house, master. You treated him well and he just simply doesn't want to go out. And it says, then thou shalt take an awl, A-W-L, is for making a hole in some material. You can buy an awl at Home Depot. It says you'll take an awl and thrust it through his ear unto the door. Pretty gruesome, I guess. Make a hole in his ear with that awl, that tool. Just jam through his ear while he's got it up against the door. And he shall be thy servant forever. He shall be your slave forever. Why would anybody want to continue to be a slave? Because the master was good to him. Because he had it better when he was a slave than before everything snowballed and he lost everything he had and he had to sell himself to debtor's prison or whatever. Just like Paul, he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? I believe that God is calling everyone that will say yes. Lord, I want to be your bondservant. Lord, what will you have me to do? Just tell me, and I'll do it. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's joeykelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.